ladies and gentlemen, this is Stu Weber, StuWeb.com. It is January 27th, Thursday, 2022, and I have the honor to have Professor Jim Betcher on with me. Go ahead, Jim. Give us the latest report.
Well, Stu, with the collapse of the COVID narrative, where the UK, Boris Johnson, has pulled back all of the mask mandates and all that, the isolation, lockdowns, passports, and all that, the Biden administration is concerned to tone it down so they can pave the way for Joe to make a similar declaration that he had vanquished the virus during his State of the Union on the 1st of March. So here they are trying to have a response take place, but there are complications given the ICC has a formal complaint that has been brought against the UK, against Tony, the rat Fauci, against Bill and Melinda Gates, against the CEOs of Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and AstraZeneca, which may have inspired more of us to, you know, more or less throw in the towel, and where we even have discovered now that the Rothschilds were patenting COVID-19 test kits back in 2015 in the Netherlands and in 2017 in the United States as COVID-19 test kits, but with the condition that the patents not be publicized until 2020, there's not a lot of room for doubt about who's responsible ultimately behind the scenes. If you step back and look at the big picture in the United States now, with Kamala Harris having worse poll numbers even than Biden, they're in a delicate situation here where they want to take advantage of Stephen Meyer now, the decision to retire, to give Biden an opportunity to make an appointment. Because, Stu, if they waited until the midterm, they're expecting to be taken out. It's going to be a bloodbath. And if they lose the control of the House, but in this case, especially the Senate, it will be impossible for Biden to appoint a new justice should there actually be an opening. So they appear to have expedited the matter of Breyer stepping down now so that Biden can have the opportunity to make an appointment. Meanwhile, to distract from the COVID failure and from the open borders, which are getting so bad that they're not even willing to release the numbers, they're pulling a stunt in relation to Ukraine and grossly exaggerating the threat of a Russian invasion there, but generating a lot of hysteria, even threatening to oppose the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which Russia provides to Europe, especially to Germany, giving them inexpensive gas, which would cause chaos in Europe if it were to happen. But as I see it, we're really talking about a political theater that really is intended to distract the public from the Boris Johnson relieving from the International Criminal Court complaint and from the revelation of the Rothschild patents in order to keep the newspapers covered with other stories that are purely distraction and political theater. We know, of course, that the deaths continue to increase from the vax. I mean, it's very clear that the more a country is vaccinated, the greater the number of deaths. And where there's no pandemic of the unvaxxed, that they're trying to demonize those who are unvaccinated, but where we have the official narrative falling apart. Even the World Health Organization is warning against booster shots. It made sense for some to go along with it when it was just one or two doses, but that now the government's want there to be a third or even a fourth. Many are saying that not both EU regulators and officials at the WHO now admit booster shots did not make sense in that they should not be recommended. There's no evidence to support that a booster shot works, and everyone knows it. More jabs mean more infections. They've been trying to hide the fact from the public, but the data clearly shows the more people get, the more likely they are to have symptoms associated with COVID. The unvaccinated, meanwhile, are healthier on the average compared to their fully vaccinated counterparts. The COVID jabs are not safe. On top of not working as planned, COVID injections are also unsafe. Many formerly pro-vaccine doctors and other health experts are speaking out against the shots, warning that they do not work. Nobody is going to go public yet, but they are all upset, the doctors, and realize they've been misled. Face masks cannot protect against disease and, in fact, actually spread more of it. It took a long time to get to this point, but now the CDC has finally admitted that cloth masks are useless at preventing the spread of COVID or any other disease for that matter. The corrupt CDC head, which Al Rolinsky, has had no way out of fessing up to the truth after data has been published showing that face diapers are more of a religious ritual than a viable medical strategy. The masks don't work. There are a very sophisticated kind of masks that work, but they're expensive, these P100 respirators, and they don't make a lot of sense, especially when we find that young people are damaged by wearing face masks, cutting down on their supply of oxygen because you're recirculating oxygen-depleted air, putting a strain on their cardiovascular system. Young people especially should not be getting boosted, even though Tony the Rat claims otherwise. There's zero evidence to suggest COVID injections are safe or effective for young people. In fact, many doctors and other health experts are warning parents against getting their children boosted, despite the fact that leftist colleges and universities across the country are demanding them for their students who wish to return to campus. This is extremely disturbing and really very, very bad public health policy. Now, Biden talked on the campaign about appointing a black woman to the Supreme Court. This was a form of pandering. They're going to go into high court now, high gear now with this pandering, because they really have nothing else they can claim as they approach the midterm elections. And that's another reason for the political theater with Russia trying to make Putin look tough. Well, Russia has no interest in invading Ukraine. Ukraine is a corrupt country with massive debt. Russia's better off without attempting to take control of Ukraine. The Russian forces there on the border are, in case there should be some outbreak, internal to Ukraine, where the Russian favoring eastern part of Ukraine could be attacked by the Kiev government, which of course is fully dominated by the West after a coup was carried out there, engineered by Victoria Nuland using staggering sums of taxpayer money, where she's been brought back into the State Department despite her despicable past performance. Among the three most touted candidates already now for the Supreme Court appointment are a D.C. Circuit Judge, Ketanji Brown Jackson, who's already been elevated once, appointing her last year to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, considered the second most powerful federal court in the country. She's 52 years old. Another is the California Supreme Court Justice, Leandra Krueger, who is only 45. The youngest person to be appointed to the California Supreme Court when then-Governor Jerry Brown nominated her back in 2014. She has clerked for Justice John Paul Stevens, served a another candidate. It's not going to change the overall political composition of the court, where we have six conservative justices, Roberts, Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, with now three liberals, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. But replacing Breyer does give him a political opportunity, again, as I suggest, to pander. They're desperate to do that because all of the polling shows that blacks, Latinos, and independents are all moving toward the Republicans for a whole host of reasons. The flooding of the southern border, the failure of the supply chain, skyrocketing inflation, the price of gas going through the roof, that we're no longer energy independent again. Of course, we had the fiasco in Afghanistan, and I believe were there actually to be a military encounter with Russia, the public would not come to the support of the president, but rather regard it as more incompetence. Incidentally, the Boston Herald has published an opinion piece. Biden's presidency needs a lifeline, and her name could be Hillary. Listen to this. There are three things Joe Biden could do to save his train wreck of a presidency. One, get U.S. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, 82, to retire. Well, Breyer announced his retirement today. Nominate Vice President Kamala Harris to take his place on the Supreme Court. Then name to be the new Vice President Hillary Clinton, 74, to take Harris's place. Then if Joe is too far gone to seek re-election, assuming he is still on the job and not 6 feet under, Vice President Hillary would be the obvious Democrat nominee. In the meanwhile, in my opinion, if they were to move that far, they would want Joe actually to resign for reasons of health so Hillary could move up.
This is an excellent report. You're right on target. Okay? Ask the question, have you seen the TV commercial that Hillary Clinton's been running on TV?
No, tell me about
it. TV commercials promoting her for the presidency. One ran here in Kansas City, and I've heard people in Pennsylvania, Virginia, heard about it. It's a TV commercial promoting her presidency.
Well, Stu, let me close with the following story. Today is Holocaust Remembrance Day, where the United Nations has even now passed a resolution that was introduced by Germany and Israel, where they agreed on a definition of Holocaust denial that cites intentional efforts to excuse or minimize the Holocaust, as well as attempts to blame the Jews for causing their own genocide.
This is the deal with the Ukraine that you touch on. The Brazilian Jews, they call them out of Ukraine, that took Israel and killed Palestinians, slaughtered 40,000 of them, in the mass graves in 1947, they call himself today Israel. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, the whole Holocaust narrative was a fabrication. I mean, it turns out that there were 236 references to 6 million Jews in dire straits or fear of loss of their lives beginning in the international press in 1890, long before the Nuremberg tribunals took place. That the number appears to be derivative from a disputed passage in Leviticus that declares that the chosen people can return to the promised land only when the bride is 6 million who've been consumed in the flames, except that requires an interpolation. Since there was no word in the original Hebrew for 6 million, where the International Committee of the Red Cross was keeping meticulous records on all the inmates from all the camps, on their age, their sex, their nationality, their ethnicity, their religion, and their cause of was all made up for political grounds, for political reasons, or even a former Israeli Minister of Education appeared on the with Amy Goodman way back when and said when she asked, when Amy asked her about criticism of the government of Israel, she explained that it was a trick that in Europe, if there were criticism of the government of Israel, they'd bring up the Holocaust. In America, if criticism were made of Israel, they wouldn't talk about being anti-Semitic. She herself openly acknowledged it was a trick. Meanwhile, we have published a dozen books at moonrockbooks.com. Six of them have been banned by Amazon.com.